You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it!
Yeehaw!
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. Today's show, well, a little bit more serious. John Carmichael, who's the registrar of OMVIC, Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council. These are the folks that regulate the car business, new car business, and used car business, correct?
Great to be here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's a startling introduction.
He sounded way too serious.
He said we're getting serious. Holy mackerel, that is unbelievable.
And the dulcet tones of Alan Gellman. And joining us at the bottom of the hour will be Dave McLean from The Auto Show. We got some stuff to give away. We got some stuff to talk about. Interesting things that we're going to talk about today are electric vehicle problems, as far as getting your money back. There was an article in the Star, I think, this morning about the dealers are not getting back their refunds and the customers are in trouble. And we're going to talk about all that sort of stuff.
Sounds good.
Yep. Just so you know, that facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage, all one word. If you go on there, you can see us being streamed live and our beautiful faces. And they always say, geez, you never look like I thought you would look like. And I always answer, neither do you.
We have to start getting makeup, eh?
Pretty soon, yeah, we're the next stars. It's absolutely amazing how many hits we get on Facebook.
Well, they kept saying, you know, we have a face for radio, but I you know.
Little humor there. Auto show starts on the 13th, I think, at the International Center downtown. Yes. Is it called International
14th
Center?
Actually is the first full day.
Yes, but the people don't realize that the dealership community and the car community gets together way before that.
Yes.
We have VIP nights, we have media nights, we have all that other stuff.
Oh, I thought you meant it just took days to set up. Were having parties?
Days to set up, too.
You know, he told me, he says, as soon as the show starts, they start on the next show already.
I believe that.
Yeah, because there's so much going on there. And yeah, it's absolutely. 66,000 square feet of cars and information, and you're down there.
Oh, I'll be there. It's a remarkable exhibition.
Yeah.
It covers, you know, the entire Metro Convention Center. When you look at that footage and the walk and all the various manufacturers, it's outstanding.
And then what they don't tell you is that one year we had to close it down. They wouldn't let more people in because it got so busy that it actually wasn't safe. The fire marshal said, slow it up a bit.
Well, I envision that again for Family Day because, you know, and I will be there.
Yep.
Plus a whole lot of other folks.
We're doing the town hall. I think it's at 1 o'clock or noon on Family Day. You can't miss us. We'll be at the top of the escalator.
So hundreds of thousands of people turning out to hear and see
millions,
you guys.
Millions, yes. And all the swag we give away. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, they gave away screwdrivers one year. Big mistake. All the kids remodeled the cars.
Yeah, I'll stay there. We'll leave that one alone, yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. Al will take us out. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Mr. John Carmichael, who is the registrar, temporary registrar, but it's been 3 years. And when is temporary over?
I don't know. It's called interim. It just rides with the title, I guess.
If you got a car care question or a question about a car you just bought, for example, and you're having an issue with the dealer, by all means, we're here to answer any and all of those questions. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. Joining us today is Mr. John Carmichael, who is the registrar for the Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council.
You know what, just before we get going, why don't we explain to our listeners what OMVIC is?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
John?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
OMVIC functionally is a consumer protection agency, so we are there to assist consumers in the buying, selling, leasing sector of the auto industry, and if they have a problem, if they've had an issue, and we can talk about some of those, I'm sure, today, they can call us and we'll get involved in helping them resolve the problem. The other side of the responsibility is to ensure that we are raising the bar, if you like, on dealer professionalism. So through education, through programs that help the dealer to educate his staff, and we spend a lot of our effort on that as well.
And I think the big but that our listeners should listen to or hear us saying is that all of those rules and all those regulations and the compensation fund only come into place if you buy from a registered dealer.
That's correct. We operate under the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, which is a provincially legislated bit of legislation, and we support the registered dealers. So we register this year alone. We registered another 800 new and used car dealers, 8,100 dealers in the province.
Right, but at the same time, you understand that if you buy it from Kijiji Motors or for Tim Hortons,
private sale. We're not involved in that.
Right, and generally we call those curbsiders.
Yes, if it's an illegal dealer who's selling more than a certain number of vehicles, 3, 4, 5 vehicles.
So that's the badge he wears. He's a curbsider.
He's a curbsider, right? An illegal dealer, and we don't support that, which means that the consumer is left without the backstop of motor vehicle compensation fund.
So one of the things that you actually are promoting is all-in pricing. That's one of the seriousest ones, right?
Yes.
Where you can't bait and switch.
Well, exactly. When a dealer advertises a car and they advertise a price on that vehicle, the only addition is tax and license.
Is he under HST any obligation? Is there any obligation to say, I'm really sorry, I just sold it here. Here's the bill of sale. It's gone. How about can we switch into something else?
If it's legitimate, it happens. That's the business. But if the car has been sold for a month, our people want to talk to them about that.
Because you'll trace the serial numbers.
Yep.
All righty. Now, there was a situation I read in the paper the other day about electric vehicles.
Okay.
And the fact that people have not received their refunds. And I think the dealers are the ones that are out of pocket.
No, the consumer.
Consumer's out of pocket.
The consumer has bought the vehicle, and they apply to the government for the subsidy, for the rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back almost 2 years where dealers and manufacturers had to, when the program was canceled in August of 2017, dealers and manufacturers had to register all their incoming inventory that is sold and ready for delivery with the government. If you're not on that list, but you bought the car expecting to take advantage of that $14,000 rebate,
correct,
and that's why you bought the vehicle, you've got a problem if that vehicle wasn't registered with the government. And those are the issues we get involved with.
So they're not available in Ontario. When Ford came to power, he canceled it.
Canceled the program.
Right, but it's still a federal program.
Yeah, it's available. It's a $5,000 rebate now. It's available right across the country. And I was just reading the other day that the federal government budgeted $300 million
That's
over
correct.
Three
yeah.
years.
Mm-hmm.
They've already exceeded the 50% mark after the first year. So they're in the soup on that.
But you guys were talking, I mean, just from that perspective, you know, because we're gas car guys, we're not necessarily electric car guys, and you felt, why should we subsidize people who go get electric cars?
Well, I as you know, I have an issue on that. I personally believe that it's not a taxpayer responsibility to pay for those subsidies. But we do, and when the government forks over $7,500, $14,000, as we did in Ontario for almost 10 years. We made little dent in the sales numbers, but that was the determining factor in what car people decided to buy on the electric vehicle market. That's a subsidy coming from the taxpayer, you and I.
Well, right, but the manufacturers state that they can't sell them cheaper because it costs them more money to make. Do you not believe that?
No, I don't. It's their responsibility.
Okay.
I think if we're going to sell electric vehicles, the manufacturer, it's incumbent on them to price the vehicles accordingly. And if those prices are too high for consumer acceptance, the vehicle's going to fail. Now, there are some fabulous cars out there today.
But from a green perspective, you know, at the government's, you know, people want green to be the way of the future.
Sure.
I mean, look at what's going on in Europe. They sell way more green cars than they do here. But then again, I mean, everybody drove diesels, but they're going the way of electric now. So it's better for the environment.
Yeah, I personally believe we had two problems with that. Yes, I agree with you that if the green technology, the electric vehicle is the right car for the time, somehow between the government and the manufacturer, they should figure out how do we get there.
Without us paying for it.
Without you and I paying for it as a taxpayer.
But Woo-hoo!
The other problem, and keeping in mind, we're still selling less than 1%.
Close to a half a percent
of vehicles are electric vehicles today. Mm-hmm. So with the subsidies, it's still not happening.
Right.
The other problem, which the government is now putting a focus on, is there's no infrastructure. So if you want to take an electric car for a drive and you're unsure, where do you plug in? How do you get the power? And who's going to pay for that power?
That's right.
Yeah, the power was the other issue. There's no question about that.
That's starting to improve now.
If we're having brownouts in the summer now, how's it going to work when everybody has electric cars?
You know, I wouldn't mind hearing from a dealer or a person who has one of these cars, what's it like to live with? I mean, it's a whole change of lifestyle. It's like driving your cell phone. You know, you got to watch the battery all the time. You got all this anxiety going on. So I'd like to hear from somebody who actually has an EV. What's it like on a daily operation?
It hums.
Hums.
It hums.
It actually does.
It doesn't go rum, 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 rum. No. It just hums.
We'll be right back. Please listen for
us. And if you're worried about your hummer quitting, you better give us a call right now. Yeah. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
All righty then. We're back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. With us is John Carmichael from the OMVIC. We explained who he is.
And before, Dave, we know we were talking about electric cars and about technology and how things are constantly changing in the car business. And, you know, one of the problems we have now, if you buy a used car, there's a whole disclosure package. In other words, you have to say if it was, you know, in a major accident.
Due diligence.
Right. And you have to say that whether that car was a taxi or not. But there's other things out there now where people are using their vehicles for commercial use that aren't covered. In other words, you know, you have Lyft
and
Uber. Now, John, what do we do about that?
Well, it is a challenge for us. Like so many disruptive technologies that are coming down the pipe at us, we have to figure out how do we adapt. In the case of those disclosures of taxis and limousines, as part of the sale agreement, and it's legislated, they have to be declared to a consumer who's buying one of those vehicles.
Right, and of course, if someone buys one and finds out after the fact,
it's rescissionable. They have lots of recourse, and they're protected. Now, with Uber and Lyft, they're not protected. Those are vehicles that require, if it were to change with legislation, that's the only way those vehicles would be considered in that area. And at this point in time, they're not.
Okay.
John, at this point in time, the information of fact that it was an Uber or a Lyft has to come from the owner of the vehicle, right? He has a form to fill out, and he has to identify what that car was used for.
That's right.
Right?
But those questions aren't on there.
There's no obligation on the Uber and Lyft.
No, exactly.
No,
so I'm saying
taxi or limousine. But Uber and Lyft, they're not covered.
And of course, there would be no incentive for somebody to tell the truth because, you know, the market value of this car is going to be that much
less.
Well,
why is the back seat of your car on the right side so worn out and the others are all so dull?
Well, the reality is for those of us who have hopped in the back of an Uber or a Lyft car, generally there's a lot of new vehicles on the road. They're in good shape. They're clean. They're terrific. And that's why you typically want to ride one of those vehicles. But anybody who does a lot of riding knows there are experiences sitting on the rear suspension.
Here's an identifiable product or problem. How do you go about changing the law so that you can react to it?
Well, that's a great question, and that's where I spend a lot of my time. We are subject to submitting our regulatory changes to the government, and the government will appraise them and determine, first of all, whether they're reasonable and whether what we are suggesting will reduce consumer harm, whether they will put more burdens on consumers or business people, the dealers. And our job is to ensure that we don't burden the consumer or the dealer or the salesperson. So they go through a myriad of tests to determine whether it's got any life.
If anything, these new regulations alleviate the problems. In other words, it would take the pressure off the dealer we disclosed it. It would take the pressure away from the consumer who would perhaps be worried about buying a car like that. He'd have protection now.
The challenge, though, Alan, is that as we assess a change that we want to make in the regulations, it can take up to 3 years.
Wow.
Going through the process, because there's lots of other industries that are doing the very same thing, and the government is already taxed at trying to figure out how do we move these things along. And this province now, is, as you know, the premier said, we're open for business. We don't want more regulation.
That's correct.
So something like this is a consumer protection item. We would appeal to the government to try to expedite, But these things can take a fair while.
Now, these are serious issues because within a year, if you find that it was a taxi, a police car, a fire department car or whatever, and it was not disclosed, you can actually return the vehicle.
You can return the vehicle. It's rescissional. You can get your money back.
Yes.
Just backing up on the Uber thing, though, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Ubers are not full-time taxis.
Right.
You've got drivers who are doing it part-time. You've got seniors who do it for social exercise to get out 3 mornings a week and drive their car and go and earn some extra money.
Does your wife know, John?
She
calls doesn't mind you going out for social reasons?
She calls me and says, where are you? What part of the city in today? Yeah.
So how many girls did you pick up today?
Nice.
Yeah, how much gas is in the car?
All right, we got to run. You got a car care question or want to find out what Dave does after hours? Give us a call right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Oh, Dave McLean's coming on next.
Perfect.
Well, 2D. We'll be in 2D. Hey, welcome back. Just a little conversation there. You know, we're talking about Yorkville Business Association in the summer when they do all those classic cars.
Yes.
100,000 people come to the carpeted Bloor Street between University and, I believe, Bay.
All right, but coming up, starting February the 14th, is the Canadian International Auto Show. And on the phone, we have Dave McLean. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you this morning?
Excellent. You?
Oh, great. We're coming down to the finish line here, so it's exciting.
Have you started moving the cars in yet?
Actually, they will be starting tomorrow morning.
Seriously?
Monday morning, I believe. Everything is when it starts to roll in. Not like it was 25 years ago when we set the whole thing up in about 2.5 days.
So this is going to take about a month now, you're saying?
Yeah, well, you know what? We're there for almost a month. It's incredible. I mean, we pull in there on the 3rd of February, and I think the last ones go out on about the 26th.
So hey, can we buy cars there?
Haul, but it's worth it in terms of the annual presentation of what we call the total automotive experience.
Dave, can you still buy cars at the show?
Well, it's still a licensed venue. Most of the manufacturers have decided not to take that route. But as an event, yes, we still get certified as a selling destination.
Fascinating, Al. You're going to ask a bunch of questions.
Sure. There's all kinds. I mean, Dave was talking about new cars, of course, but there's all kinds of different displays there. I mean, just you don't have to. There's something for you to see. In other words, if you're not just there to buy a new car.
As I said a few minutes ago, our commitment is the portrayal of what we call the total automotive experience. So. Of course, the most important aspect of our show is the presentation of the new cars and light trucks that are available in the Canadian marketplace. But beyond that, people want to take a look at, they want to throw back to the past. They want to know what's happening. And this year, our presentation is called the Disruptors, those vehicles that truly changed or influenced the direction of the auto industry moving forward. Auto Exotica is a presentation of the uber exotic vehicles that we have in the marketplace.
Oh, not taxis.
Aspirational or dreamy. It's something there. So
okay.
It's really a wide spectrum of product.
Now, you were talking about the cars actually being there, not just pictures or movies.
No, these cars are there. I mean, we've got some fantastic automobiles. I mean, what are you talking about? The Bugatti La Voiture Noir, quite literally the black car. Valued at just over $16 million Canadian the Foligno, our own Canadian-made supercar that's going to be there. I mean, there's just an incredible display of vehicles this year.
Now that you're having a tribute to the McLaren racing car, they've been around for a million years.
Working with the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, each year we try to identify what's new and unique in terms of the history of the automobile and what's happening. So we partnered up with the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, and they've got a tribute to McLaren Racing this year. And that's right downstairs, directly adjacent to Auto Exotica.
Now, before the show, at the beginning of our show today, actually, we were talking about EVs. Now, you guys will actually have a facility for people to try out EVs.
Yeah, well, you guys know this probably better than anybody. I mean, the number one question that people have, in terms of vehicles in the marketplace pertains to electric vehicles. And at the auto show this year, we've got more than 18 vehicles that are available for consumers to test in an on-road driving application. I mean, it's commonly referred to some of the questions as range anxiety. They just don't understand how far these cars will travel when it's hot, when it's cold, when you're loading it up with either the air conditioning or the heating. How much does it cost to charge? So all of these questions can be answered, as well as consumers or patrons being given the opportunity to test drive the vehicle. So it's a really cool feature. I think it's taken off over the last 2 years, and manufacturers are certainly in full participation.
Now, if I'm going to want to drive one of these cars, do I have to, call up early or make a reservation or just show up?
No, just show up. Actually, there are two ways. You can actually register through the manufacturer if you're interested in their vehicle. Learn a little bit about it from the manufacturer first and set yourself up for a test drive. Or you can make the connection directly there at the auto show. We've got Plug and Drive that we're working with this year and all of their people. And it's really a great opportunity for people to experience it firsthand because, I mean, the percentage of people that have actually driven an electric vehicle is quite low. So this is a unique opportunity.
Dave, how long, if you wanted to see everything at the show, I mean, you can drop the kids off, I guess, at the Volkswagen place, and now you want to see everything. Is a day enough?
Yeah, you know what? I think a day is enough, but it really depends on how many hours you include in your day and what you want to do at the show. It's funny. There are so many little nooks and crannies at the auto show. You consider 650,000 square feet. And I'm amazed that, in being involved from start to finish in this event, but I'm walking around the show and I see things I never knew about, and it captures my attention. And next thing a half an hour to an hour has passed. So it really depends where your interests lie. But we say it's a 3 to 4 hour if you're sort of a casual consumer that's looking at specific cars or wants to take in some of the major features at the event. You can give it that amount of time, but certainly you can spend a day there. You can spend 2 days there.
Fascinating.
Now, maybe I can just jump in. Yeah. And Dave, it's John. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. We are at OMVIC are excited to once again be in display, to have a booth at the show. And so just to put the plug in, we look forward to talking to consumers who may have a question about their purchase or lease of a new or used vehicle. And we'll have staffing there throughout the entire show. And looking forward to another successful year of all of your efforts.
Yeah, well, John, thank you. OMVIC's been a very important part of our display at the auto show because certainly you have questions that consumers that you can answer for consumers that certainly we can't as a show, and we don't. So having that diversity of presentation, whether it's about industry questions, whether it's about new vehicles, or just where the industry is headed, what direction, these are all things that can be gleaned by consumers at the event.
Yeah, and also, John, I think Terry's coming down to our town hall, and he's going to be answering questions.
Yeah, no, this is a great opportunity for our OMVIC team. They're well informed. They know their business. They understand the legislation, and to be at the auto show where, they could talk to literally hundreds of thousands of consumers going through the show, and answer questions. It's a great exposure.
You're
for
at the
us.
Bottom of the escalator.
Right at the bottom of the escalator, just below all the classic cars.
Good place to be. So the auto show, which started, back in 74, I don't know, I can't do the numbers that well, but it's a big anniversary.
Every year is a big anniversary.
It's amazing to me.
Really is.
You know what's really...
This is my 25th year putting on the auto show, and I'll tell you, I just can't believe the changes that I've seen in the quarter century anyway.
Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean,
for a guy who's 28 years old.
That's what I'm thinking. Don't look at the old pictures, whatever you do.
I'm amazed, though. You show up at the place, and it's just an empty box, an empty warehouse.
Yes.
And they transform these things. I mean, Chrysler's always doing something where have one of their SUVs going up a mountain. Well, the mountain's not there. They got to build a mountain. Yep. And then they got to build a waterfall behind it. It's just crazy.
The booths and the investment by the manufacturers really is a credit to the industry.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're very fortunate to have the participation and the support of the manufacturers in Canada. And certainly we know on our part what we have to deliver. We have to deliver consumers to the event, and then it's up to the manufacturers to share their brand voice, their models with consumers. But certainly we've got a lot of work ahead of us. We're very excited, and we all know what's most important. That's keeping that new car buying experience alive.
It's for me, I'll be honest with you, I can take my wife from one car to the next, and she finally can decide what car she wants, rather than dragging her from dealership to dealership.
Another thing that's happening, just out of interest's sake, I'm going down on Saturday night. Dave will know about this. The Motorsport Hall of Fame is doing their induction work. They're inducting new members into the Motorsport Hall of Fame. And a good friend of mine, Robin Buck, is one of the inductees this year. So we're going down to watch all these individuals.
That's what Norris does that. I read his articles this morning.
It's great to see these people who have been such a part of this industry for so long being recognized.
We don't fly the Canadian flag high enough in this town.
Our challenge as Canadians, period, right? We tend to navel gaze at times, and we should be proud of what we have.
Interesting stuff. David, thanks for spending time. Auto show is on from?
Well, February 14th to 23rd. It's open every day from 10:30 a.m. until 10 p.m., of course, on closing day. On Sunday, we have to shut it down at 6 p.m., but there's a lot to see over those 10 days.
Now, people
thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate the time this morning.
You're very welcome. See people go online. It's the autoshow.ca, correct?
The best way to prepare for the show.
All right.
Boom. Thank you again, David.
See you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's amazing. It did start in 74, and they actually sold cars there. I remember our dealership sold over 30 cars at the auto show.
We always had salespeople down there working the floor, and it got too complicated. And so there was a point in time where you could refer the customer back to your dealership, and nobody wanted to do that because you never knew if they'd get there. But
it
they had to make it more seamless, and I understand that absolutely.
It works fine, and it's actually, we know what, especially if it's cold weather in February, you can spend a day there walking around. Get
what a great environment.
Yeah, I just love it.
You talked about Family Day. That's going to be a busy day down there.
Oh, exactly. It's the biggest day of the show, I think, for the most part. And we're going to be there. We're doing our what do you call it, Dave?
What?
Our presentation?
Town Hall.
Town Hall.
We're out for an hour and a half, and all of our associates are up, get a chance to answer questions from the audience. Wow. We give away a lot of swag.
No screwdrivers.
We were told. No screwdrivers. You can wear hats, gloves, whatever, but no screwdrivers. All righty, when we come back, we're going to take some questions. Phone lines are ringing. There's one open if you want to try, and we'll talk some more with Mr. John Carmichael. We'll be right back. Alrighty, phone lines are full. Just one announcement before we start. Last week, a couple of folks won floor mats from us. Mm-hmm. They have not yet arrived. When they do arrive, Al will call you that they're in, and you can make arrangements to pick them up. So if you're calling about the mats that you won, we're still waiting for product.
Yeah, I'll give you a call. And if you have time and you want an oil change, hey, we're happy to do that as well.
Alrighty, let's go quickly to the phones. And we have a call from Toronto from Jimmy, who's talking about freight charges on new car vehicles.
I was just wondering that, you know, when you buy a new car, that freight charge, is that negotiable or is that set in stone?
This is John, Jimmy. It's set in stone. It's part of the advertised price of the vehicle. It's built into the cost of the vehicle, but it should be shown on your bill of sale as a line item, and it's not negotiable. On a new car.
Really? Well, I wouldn't think in terms of course, adding, because you've got all-in pricing.
Yes.
But you mean he couldn't go back to the dealer and say, you know what, I want to pay less than this.
The dealer has to pay that to get the car to their showroom or to their facility. So it's a fixed cost generally speaking, it's a fixed cost from the manufacturer to the dealer. I haven't seen it marked up before.
And it's the same cost all over Canada. If they built it in Alliston and they're shipping it to Toronto, it certainly didn't cost $1,100 to ship it.
Exactly.
Right? So it's the same. It's to equalize the price of the car across the whole country.
Yeah, but the bottom line on the whole deal is negotiable.
Yeah, I agree.
Bottom line is negotiable, but when
you're right,
an item like that, it's specific. Like an option on the vehicle to get the car to the dealership. There's a fixed freight cost, and it's built into.
And there's
price.
Another thing, is,
and make it a separate line item.
Okay,
all right.
But the other thing you should add in here, it's financeable. In other words, when you end up going into the F&I office to actually do the paperwork, you can finance the freight as part of the negotiation
of the vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the administration charge? Is that set in stone too? Or?
No, that's not set in stone. That you'll find dealers put an admin fee, build it into the price of the vehicle. Again, it's a separate line item. And if they're going to advertise that admin fee should be visible to you when when you're looking at the price of the vehicle. But it can be negotiable. Most dealers, depending on franchises, et cetera, will have a fixed price.
I have a question that, you know, you brought a question for me. I leased a new car. I pay an admin fee. Now the lease is over and they want to charge a second admin fee.
What for?
According to the industry, because it's a separate deal. Buying back my car from the lease becomes a separate deal versus leasing the car in the beginning.
I haven't run into that one yet.
Oh, you will shortly.
You're calling me on that one. There we go.
Because I think that's wrong. I think I paid an admin fee for the entire contract. And they're saying, no, buying your car back from the end of the lease is a separate agreement.
Listen, I just traded in a lease car or turned in a lease car. After
but you're John Carmichael.
No. Well, thank you. No, but it was a clean deal. I knew what I had to return the car at. you know, the condition of the vehicle. I had to declare the kilometers, if there'd been any damage to the vehicle, et cetera. But it wasn't charged any extra money.
Interesting. We'll see where that goes.
But yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, if you're buying a car, and it depends on how bad the dealer wants to move that car, that bottom line can be adjusted.
Yeah, I believe so.
And you don't ask, you don't get. There you go.
And it meant for you was with Mercedes when I had to buy my wife's car up.
All right, we got to move along. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good
Thanks
stuff. Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
We're going to talk to Jimmy. He's in, I can't hardly to see it, St. Catharines. Good morning. How are you?
All right. I was listening to you guys last week. I couldn't write the numbers down, so okay. I called you this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got fleeced. I'll tell you what happened. My son was driving his truck. He's a roofer, and he was on his way back from Niagara Falls with
mm-hmm.
the truck.
Right.
Well, the OPP pulled him over right before the ramp on 406 by Pine Street. They wouldn't let him drive the truck because my daughter-in-law didn't pay her fine, and the truck got the plate got tagged.
Okay.
So he called me in a panic. He said, "Mom, can you come help me? They're going to tow, and there's $1,000 worth of material in the back of the truck." He said, "Can you help me?" So I took a cab up there, and he had quoted. I said, "How much?" He said, $100. They told me $150 to tow the truck, like maybe 300 feet.
Was that the tow truck operator that told you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I get there, and I get out of the cab. Because I took a cab, I had no wheels, gets out of the cab, and I'm walking up to my son, and I said, "You're damn lucky I haven't paid my rent yet." Because I said, "I wouldn't have the cash." You know what they charged me? $350.
Wow. Why did it change like that? Did you not ask him?
His excuse was, he towed the truck, it had the trailer on it. And suddenly, I asked the guy for a receipt, I don't have to give you a receipt.
Well, that's wrong.
And I thought, I was so mad last week, I was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I'm a senior man, $350 to tow this truck nut up the ramp across the street by the Pine Hotel and put it in the parking lot, or they were going to take it away."
Well, it does sound like you got ripped off. Dave, what can you do?
Well, first off, the CAA is interested in looking at stuff like this because...
Well, it was, I don't know who it was. The OPP called them, okay? Because
yes.
That part of the road is... And I tried to find out which officer pulled him over.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm sorry, but I'm pissed off about that. And it drove me crazy. But it went from $150 20 minutes earlier... when I was on the phone to when I got there, it was $350.
All right. I'm going to have to cut you shorter because we're going to break. What I want you to do is hold on, and one of our operators will take your phone number. I will forward that to Raymond over at the CAA. They're familiar with all the towing services and your rights, and I think that's where you should begin.
Thank you so much. I love listening to you guys. Honest to God.
So, no problem.
Two of my husbands were mechanics, and I always... And it's funny, I've been to that car show more times you can shake a stick at.
Well, you never know. Next week we start handing out tickets, so make sure you call back and let us know what's happening. So, Jenny, hang on for 1 second, and we're going to transfer your line. Alrighty, good. Yeah, maybe there's a charge for waiting, or maybe there was a... It doesn't sound like
somebody's got.
But you know what? We did have Ray Chan on last week from the CAA, and that's his specific area. And there are rules about towing.
Yes, there are.
Where they do have to tell you beforehand how much it's going to cost. They do have to provide you a receipt, and you can pay by other than cash.
Yeah, you can pay Visa or something like that.
We just have to find out how to get our money back.
We had a situation once; they wanted $800 for a $200 car. We told them keep it.
Yeah, no kidding. There is a Consumer Protection Act that is managed by the government, by the Ministry of Government and Consumer Services. And there's a complaints line there that Jenny could call into as well.
John, are you single?
No, I'm not available.
Could be the third husband.
You could be number three. I'm sure Jenny would be happy to give you a call. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
All righty, we're back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. This is our final segment. My name is Dave Redinger, obviously, and John Carmichael, who's with us. John was in government, too. You were a member for Don Valley West.
I was the member of parliament for Don Valley West, yes.
4 years.
Yep.
In 6 months.
Great experience. Yeah, who's counting, though, right? Yeah.
And, of course, Alan Gelman. And let's go quickly to the phones.
We're going to go off to Perry. We'll speak to Marie in Perry. Marie, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Dave. I love you boys, too.
Oh,
thank
there you.
You
go.
Okay. My 97 Ford Escort wagon has had the light on that says service engine soon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford, I'm 88 years old, I can't afford any more big repairs. So what is required when that light comes on? What are they looking to you to do?
Well, Mary, does the car seem to drive okay?
Yes, yes, it does. I don't want to take your time. There's a few other problems. But yes, and I don't drive it except in Paris. I don't take it out of town anymore.
All right, so it drives okay. Now, yes. The light is just on, correct? It's not actually flashing?
No, it's just on steady.
Okay, well, back in the old days when we had to do emission testing, that would have had to have been fixed. But at this point in time, if the car drives okay and it's not flashing, you don't have to spend any money necessarily. You're safe to drive it.
Okay, so there's nothing that I have to refill or check, whatever?
Well, what you can do is stop by a garage and just have him scan it. So he's going to plug in his little computer and find out what that code is, okay?
Okay.
And from that point, he'll provide you with an estimate to tell you, you know, what the code is and what he thinks it's going to cost to fix. Now, again, if it's just, you know, an emissions thing, for example, and it doesn't affect performance, well, then, hey, you can just leave it at that. You don't have to do anything. But if it's because, for example, that your engine oil is very low, then he could just top it up. It wouldn't be a big fix at all. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Tell him to treat you like he'd treat his own grandma. Okay?
Pardon me?
Tell the garage guy to treat you the way, same way he'd treat his own grandma.
Well, listen, I often pull the old lady card, you know. Sometimes. Yeah. But, no, I was going to say that, okay, it's slipped my mind. It's another one of those
we know what that's
moments.
Like.
No problem. You can give us a call next week.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Mary. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think out of all our cars, I only two have the lights off. They're all on. So, John, how do we get in touch with Anvik?
Well, we have, if you have a complaint, call us. We're at 1-800-943-6002. Extension 3942, and one of our complaint handlers will be happy to talk to you. Or you can go online, consumers@omvic.on.ca. That's consumers@omvic.on.ca, and tell us what you need help with.
And what he doesn't tell you is there's classroom videos there that you can take. They've got courses.
Lots of education for you to learn before you get into trouble.
Tremendous education on buying and leasing a car. All kinds of good information that my colleague Terry O'Keefe, who's a regular on your show, has helped us produce and does great work with.
And things such as the guy that you're talking to is actually a registered salesperson. Is he a curbsider? Has no paperwork from Omvic. You can always ask anybody that you're dealing with in the car business for that card.
Let's see the card. Let's see your identification.
Right. Old story, you know.
Come on.
You don't buy and you don't, you know, it's something you want to take your time with. You want to do your homework before because it's a lot easier to avoid it, the problem beforehand, rather than fixing it after.
Absolutely. And we have seminars, webinars, that tell you how to buy and lease a car, things to watch for, and it's all very, very helpful.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Also, if the dealership is registered and if there's any litigation and it's won or lost.
Exactly. And so this is why you want to buy from a licensed dealer, and that's why you can buy with confidence.
Protect yourself before you you make a mistake.
John, thanks for coming down.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, as always.
I only punch up onvic.ca and Google brings it up. So that's
there you go.
Works for me. Remember, keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. Thanks again, John, for joining us. And Alan, as usual.
Yes. By all means, if you're thinking about buying a used car, get it checked beforehand. And if you want, bring it to me.
Buy in haste or repent in leisure. Bye-bye,
this is
everybody.
Dave's Corner Garage. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.